right, if you will, let's take our Bibles and open to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin our reading in verse number 9 for our study together. This is the last in our series on the I am statements of the New Testament, and specifically here the I am statements of the Christian. So I want to take just a minute and review, remind ourselves of what we've talked about in this series of lessons. We, of course, began back in the Old Testament with the book of Exodus, and when God appeared at Mount Sinai, and how, or not Mount Sinai, but the burning bush to Moses, and instructed him to go and to deliver his people, the children of Israel, from Egyptian bondage. Moses asked the question of God, "Who will I say sent me?" And God revealed his name as I am that I am. And we talked about that name and how it had to do with God's eternal present nature, that he's always the I am, because there's no beginning or ending with God. He is eternal. And of course, that name became a very important name in relation to God and how he revealed himself to the children of Israel. So when we come to the New Testament, we find Jesus taking that name of God and applying it to himself. In John chapter 8, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so Jesus takes that name of God and says that it fits him as well, because he is God, he is deity, and he also is eternal. And then we looked at the seven I am statements from John's account of the gospel, where Jesus says, you know, "I am the bread of life and the light of the world," and all of those different statements. And each of those revealed something to us about his character and his nature. And after looking at those, we noted how understanding who Jesus is, understanding that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior, that he is Lord and Master, that determines and that dictates who we are supposed to be as Christians. So we began noticing some statements in the New Testament that are I am statements related to the Christian. And so we've studied several of those now. In our last couple of ones, we talked about Paul's statement, "I am crucified," which connects back into what we're going to talk about in our study this morning. And of course, we talked about the other statements. Our last lesson was, "I am ready," and how Paul was ready to preach, he was ready to suffer, and he was ready to die. And so our last I am statement in this series of lessons comes from Paul again in 1 Corinthians 15. And I want us to start reading. We'll start in verse number 8, just because it sets the context, and then we'll find his statement as we read verses 9 through 11. So in verse number 8, Paul says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." So Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And he states in this chapter that he came and he preached the gospel, and the gospel included the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And not just that Jesus was raised, but that his resurrection was absolutely true and sure and confirmed. And Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, appeared to many witnesses, Peter, and then he goes on, you know, down the list of the apostles and above 500 brethren at once. And then he says, "Last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, as of one born out of due time." It came later to Paul, because at the time that Jesus was resurrected, Paul wasn't a believer, a follower of Christ. In fact, he was persecuting the church. So here's what he says in verse number 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." So Paul's statement here, the I am statement, is, "I am what I am." And Paul says that he is what he is because of the grace of God. So we want to think about this statement and look at three ways in which the Bible shows us that I am what I am, and how that relates to the grace of God and the wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon us. So first of all, Paul says, I am what I am in spite of my past. In spite of my past. You think about what he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 15. He was allowed to be made an apostle of Christ. And in order for that to happen, one of the qualifications of being an apostle is that you had to have witnessed the resurrected Jesus. You had to have seen him after he was raised from the dead. And so a wonderful blessing that God bestowed upon Paul was that he allowed him to see the resurrected Christ. Not immediately after Jesus was raised, not because Paul was there when it all happened, but even though Paul was a persecutor of the church and time had passed, God still bestowed this blessing upon him so that he could become an apostle. That was the grace of God toward Paul. God didn't have to do that. Paul certainly didn't deserve it, and there was no way he could repay God for doing it, but God did it anyway. Paul understood that, and he recognized, as he says in there in verse number 9, I am the least of the apostles. And he obviously doesn't mean that he was beneath them in having the truth revealed to him or miraculous power or anything like that, because he himself even says that he was not one whit behind the chiefest of the apostles. So Paul was as much an apostle as anyone else. But what he means is that he, of course, didn't deserve to be an apostle because of the sins that he had committed, because he had persecuted the church. And that's, of course, what he says there in verse number 9, because I persecuted the church of God. So he recognized that he had done sinful things. He had done terrible things that were not pleasing to God. But, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, when Paul said, I am crucified, we talked about how he understood he was crucified to the law and he was crucified to the flesh. Well, now we find another aspect of that here, that Paul says we're also crucified to the past. Our past does not define us in our present. So Paul never forgot who he was before he became a Christian. He never forgot about the sins he committed. He never lost sight of the fact that he was a self-righteous sinner who persecuted Christ and his church. He always remembered what he had done and who he was then, but Paul did not allow his past sins and errors and mistakes, he did not allow them to keep him from the work that God had called and God had chosen him to do. Now, very often it's the case that's something that we struggle with, that we look back at our past and we know mistakes that we've made and sins that we've committed, and we say, number one, why would God want me to serve him? Who am I, you know, to serve God? And then number two, we say, well, who would listen to me if I tried to tell them, you know, about the gospel because of who I used to be or what I used to do? Well, Paul faced all of those same obstacles and challenges himself, but he did not allow that to stop him from serving God. And the reason why is because of this attitude that he had. His attitude was, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So Paul moved on from his past, not because he forgot about it, not because he was proud of it, or anything of that nature, but he moved on from it because he understood the grace of God. That God's graciousness is what enabled him to be forgiven of his sins. You see, he knew that it was only through God's grace that he had had the opportunity to change his life and to be saved from punishment. Again, God made this available to Paul. Paul didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. He could never pay it back, but God offered it to him anyway. God made the gospel available. God allowed Paul to see the resurrected Christ, again, by his grace. And so Paul's attitude was, yes, I did terrible things, and I was a sinner, and I hurt God, and I hurt my fellow man, and I did all these things that were wrong, but God was gracious and allowed me the opportunity to change and to be forgiven of my sins, to be saved from the punishment that I deserved. So I will not allow the grace that God bestowed upon me to be in vain. If God did all this for me, as undeserving as I am, I will not dare let anything keep me from using God's grace to honor and to glorify him. And that's why Paul did what he did. Not because he approved of his past, not because he forgot about what he had done, but because God had been gracious enough to forgive him. And that motivated him so strongly that he worked harder than any other apostle, he says, because of where he had been and because of who he had been. So Paul says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So Paul says, because God did this for me, I completely devoted myself to him. And I was going to work harder than anyone else, not to earn my salvation, not because he felt like he could pay God back for what he had done, but because he was a debtor to Christ and he understood it. He owed him everything. And so Paul, who had persecuted the church, became one of the greatest preachers and evangelists and apostles and servants and ministers that ever has lived because of the grace of God. And everything that he did, he didn't say, you know, this is because look at what a hard worker I am. Look at what a good person I am. Look at how I've repented and I've changed my life and look how much better I am. It was never about honoring or glorifying himself. He says, I labored more than everyone else, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace that was with me. He did it because of God, and he did it by God, with God's help and with God's grace. So he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. So he preached the same message that all the other apostles preached, and it was the truth, and the Corinthians had believed it, so why are they doubting it now? This is a powerful lesson. It's an important lesson that we need to learn from Paul. Paul said, by God's grace, I am what I am. And the truth is, by God's grace, I am what I am, and you are what you are. If you're a Christian, it's because of the grace of God. I am what I am. Well, what am I? I'm a Christian. I'm adopted into the family of God. I have Jesus the Christ as my advocate, as my mediator. I have direct access to the throne of grace and mercy of Almighty God. That's who I am. And sometimes we forget that when we think back to our past and our sins and our mistakes, we forget that those are forgiven and that's not who we are anymore. By God's grace, I am what I am. I'm a child of His. I'm a citizen of His kingdom. I'm a member of His family. I'm a soldier in His army. I'm a servant to His body. In spite of who I was, look who I am now. Not look at me and look what I've done and look how I've changed. That wasn't what Paul was saying, but look at what God has done. Look at what God has allowed me to be and allowed me to become. I am what I am because of God and His grace and His mercy. God's grace has made me His child. Me, someone so unworthy who doesn't deserve the least mercy from God. He offers it to me freely by His grace. I'm not perfect. None of us are. We make mistakes. We stumble. We don't always do things right. We don't always do what we should. But we have access to the blood of Christ. by God's grace, I am what I am. And Paul understood that. And so, because of what I am, there is a work that I must do. You see, God's grace was given to me, and that means that I must do something with it. I can't say, well, you know, I obeyed the gospel and I'm a Christian and I'm saved from my sins and I'm forgiven and I have the hope of eternal life in heaven, but it's someone else's job to preach the gospel. Someone else needs to teach that Bible class. Someone else needs to be the song leader. Someone else needs to prepare the communion. Someone else needs to send this card to someone who is... We can't shift all the responsibility to someone else, because God's grace is not just given to someone else, it's given to me. And there's a work that I must do. There's a work that only I can do. God has chosen me and has saved me for a reason, to give myself to Him and to use whatever I have to serve Him. And so, in spite of my past, God loved me. God gave His Son for me, and through His grace, He's made me a part of His family. And because of that, because I am what I am now, I'm a Christian, a child of God, I must do the work that I must do. It's my responsibility. I'm a debtor to Christ. I'm crucified to my past. I'm not going to let those things hold me back any longer, but I'm going to completely give myself to serve Jesus because of the grace of God. So Paul says, I am what I am in spite of my past. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul said this about himself. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul still saw himself as the chief of sinners, the greatest of all. But in spite of his past, he still devoted his life to serving God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, secondly, in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse number 7, Paul says, I am what I am in spite of my weakness. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 7, Paul is talking about being an apostle and the wonderful blessings that God had bestowed upon him in the nature of revelation, that the truth had been revealed to him. He had seen, you know, marvelous things that other people hadn't seen and that had been revealed to him, and he recognized, again, that it was God's grace and what a privilege that was. But he says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then he says this, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now let's think about what Paul says here. He suffered from a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what that was. The Bible doesn't tell us. Some think that maybe it was his eyesight, because he talks about writing in large letters. So maybe Paul had trouble with his vision. Some think it has to do with his speaking ability, because he talked to the Corinthians about being with them in fear and trembling and weakness. They talked about his weak speech. So maybe it was something like that. On and on the speculation goes, but we don't know, and it doesn't matter. God didn't tell us because we don't need to know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. What we need to know is that he had one. And Paul said it kept him humble, that even when God revealed all of these wonderful things to him, Paul could never become proud or lifted up and think that he was better than anyone else, because this thorn in the flesh humbled him. It reminded him that he was human. It reminded him that he had weakness. And so Paul didn't enjoy this thing. He didn't like it. He wanted to be rid of it. And he prayed three times for it to be removed. And the Lord all three times told him no. He wouldn't take this away from him. But God didn't just say, you know, no, you're stuck with this. God said there's a reason for it. My grace is sufficient for thee. So having this thorn in the flesh is not going to keep you from being saved. It's not going to keep you from serving me. Just trust my grace. I can take care of it. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul had weakness. But what we need to understand from the Apostle Paul is that he did not let his weaknesses keep him from the work that he was to do. Just like with his past, Paul didn't let what he had done in the past keep him from what he needed to do in the present, so he would not allow his weaknesses to stop him from serving the Lord as he was supposed to do and commanded to do. Why? Because God's grace was sufficient. God's grace was sufficient. It was enough. It could handle and overcome Paul's weaknesses. So Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. He didn't like whatever this thorn in the flesh was. It burdened him and it bothered him and it humbled him, and he wished that it could be removed. But when God said, through that weakness, I demonstrate my strength, Paul said, even though I don't like this weakness, I will glory in it because it glorifies God. And so that's what Paul did. He said, I will glory in my infirmities. You see, he understood that through his weaknesses, God was able to show his strength, God's strength. And so God was magnified through Paul and through Paul's weakness. And so he says at the end of verse 10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So when Paul was weak in the flesh, he was in reality, you know, in actuality, he was strong. Not because he was physically strong, but because God was with him. And through him, God was demonstrating strength. And that gave Paul strength. So he saw his weakness as a source and a means of strength. Now, with that in mind, I want us to go back for just a minute to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and think about something interesting that Paul says here in relation to weakness. And you know, Paul wrote a lot about weakness, about the weak brother and how those who were strong were to care for the weak and all of those things. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 9. The verse is verse 22, but I want to back up just a little bit to verse 19 and listen to the whole statement. Paul says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Then verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And he talks about running the race, and he said, if you're going to run the race, you give it your all. And how Paul was giving his all was becoming all things to all men. So Paul had a Jewish background. When he was talking to others of a Jewish background, he could relate to them from their common background in Judaism. Paul had lived under the law, and so he could relate to those who had lived under the law of Moses. Now, Paul had never been a Gentile, but he understood what it meant to be a Gentile without law, that is, outside of the law of God. They were not given the law of Moses. And so he could relate to them as Gentiles. And to the weak, he says, became I as weak. And the point is that Paul used his weakness to relate to others so he could reach them in teaching them the gospel. And that's an important principle. Sometimes we look at our weaknesses, and because we see them as weaknesses, we think that we can't do anything with them. We think we need to be ashamed of them or embarrassed of them and hide them. And what actually we ought to do is realize how they help us relate to other people. And that's true of our past as well as with our weaknesses. And Paul understood that. And so when he was, you know, talking to someone who was weak in the truth, Paul would relate to them in that situation because Paul had been weak. He didn't know the truth at one time. He tried to destroy the church so he could relate. And he used all of these situations to relate to other people to try to gain them for Christ, to teach them the gospel. So he used who he was, who he had been, and even his weaknesses in order to serve God and in order to teach others. So he says he did it all for the gospel's sake. And if you're going to run the race, you give it your all. And that doesn't just mean, you know, being strong and running fast. And in the case of being a Christian, it means humbling yourself. It means admitting to others that you have weaknesses, admitting to others that you've made mistakes. But here's how I learned from them. Here's how I grew from it. Here's how God's grace changed me. And here's what it can do for you as well. And that's what Paul did. And it made him, you know, a tremendous teacher of the gospel. So weaknesses are something that God can use to honor and to glorify him. So what do we learn from this? We learn that I am what I am. I'm not perfect. I'm not able to do all the things maybe that I would like to do. I have weaknesses, but that doesn't mean that I'm not useful in the service of Christ. I am what I am, and I must use all that I am to serve Jesus. So maybe I'm not the best preacher. What does that mean? I should not preach? Use what you have. What talent, ability you have, use it to the best of your ability and let God work through it to bring honor and glory to himself and to teach others, to save souls. I don't have the talent of leading singing. Does that mean you don't try? Does that mean if there are no other song leaders, we're just not going to sing today? No, you have to step up and do what you can with what you have. Maybe it's a weakness. It's not one of your strengths, but let God use it anyway. Maybe I'm not comfortable visiting the sick or making a phone call or whatever it is. Do it anyway. Glory in your weaknesses, because when God can take someone who is weak and demonstrate his strength through them, all the honor and glory goes to God, because we know it wasn't the person themselves, it was God working through them. So Paul said, I am what I am. In spite of my weaknesses, I'm going to use it, whatever I am, to glorify God, to honor and to serve him. So I am what I am, in spite of my past, in spite of my weakness. And then lastly, and this will close out the sermon, but it's also, we're going to try to sum up the series here about the I am statements. We're going to go to Acts 27 and verse 23 and learn that I am what I am by the grace of the I am, the grace of God. And this will serve, I think, as a good summation of what we've been looking at in this series of lessons. Acts 27 and verse 23. Paul is on a ship bound for Rome, and a terrible storm has arisen, and everyone on the ship is fearful for their lives. They don't think they're going to make it. And Paul says in verse 22 that they were to be of good cheer. In verse 23, he tells them why. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You see, Paul knew who he was because he knew whose he was. When he says, I am what I am, it's because he belonged to the great I am. He says, the angel of God, whose I am. I belong to God. Paul understood that. And so he was able to define himself, able to understand himself, able to be at peace with himself, in spite of his past, in spite of his weaknesses, in spite of whatever else. Paul could say, I am what I am because of whose I am. I am God's. And that's why he served him, and that's why Paul knew who he was. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and listen closely to what Paul says here. We read these verses so many times, but think about it in the context that we're looking at it here. Paul says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, whatever state that I'm in, I am content. Why, Paul? How could you be content when you're hungry? How could you be content when you're persecuted? When the people that you're trying to do good for and trying to teach the truth and trying to save their souls, when they hate you and they, you know, harm you and they try to kill you, how can you be content? When you're traveling all over the world without a home, how can you be content? When you're arrested in prison, bound in chains, how can you be content? Because Paul knew who he was, because he knew whose he was. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because I am his, I can do anything. And that doesn't mean I can do anything. You know, I can jump off a building and it won't hurt me. It means I can face whatever situation I find myself in. Whatever hardship I have to go through, whatever thorn in the flesh I have to endure, whatever, you know, sickness, whatever suffering, whatever persecution, whatever. Paul says, I can do it. I can do it because of whose I am. It's the grace of God that gave Paul the ability to know who he was and to be content with who he was. When times were good and times were bad, when he was happy, when he was sad, when things looked up, when things looked down, whatever, Paul was content because in all of those situations, he belonged to God. When we first started this series, our first lesson was, I am that I am. And we learned that God always is. And to the children of Israel, that meant he never changes. And the promise that he made to Abraham was hundreds of years in the past now, and it hadn't been fulfilled yet, but God is still I am. He hadn't forgotten that promise, and he was going to grant it to those children of Israel. If they would just trust him, follow him, do what he said, he would take care of them because he's faithful and true to his word. I am that I am brings us all the way around to I am what I am. Because I know that I am his. I belong to him. And he is true to his word. He is always faithful. Whatever he's promised me, that's what he will deliver. Even when it doesn't look like it, when there's sickness and there's suffering and you know, it looks like God doesn't care about me because all these bad things are happening, I know that that's not true. God loves me, and God's going to see me through, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I am his. I am what I am because he is I am that I am. And so who God is determines who I must be. And when I understand who he is and I submit to him and give my life to him completely, then I know who I am. I'm a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom, a member of the body of Christ, with all spiritual blessings in him, forgiveness of sin, prayer, answered prayer, eternal life in heaven. And so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know who I am, and I am God's. And that's who I serve, and I'm going to give my life to do that faithfully. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in his life, and that's what these I am statements of the New Testament are teaching us as Christians. This is who we are. So let's live that way. Let's understand who I am and then give ourselves to the service of God completely. No matter what in the past, no matter our weakness, no matter anything, no matter what, I am God, so I'm going to serve him. His grace will not be vain in my life because I will use what he's given me to glorify him because I am his. Are you doing that with your life? Are you a child of God? Are you one of his? If not, you can be. That grace that God made available to Paul, it's available to you as well, just as it is to me and to all of us through the blood of Jesus. But we must come to him on his terms. If we do, he'll forgive us of our sins. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, and be baptized for the remission of sins. When we do that, the Lord will forgive us. We will be raised to walk in newness of life. We'll be a Christian, a part of his family, a citizen of his kingdom, ready for that eternal life in heaven. I hope you'll think about it if you need to do that. If you've done those things but haven't been faithful to him, haven't served him faithfully, haven't given yourself to him as you should, I hope you'll think seriously about it. Repent of your sins. Confess them. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you and for you. Get in touch with us and we'll do whatever we can to help. But we can know who we are because we know who he is, and it changes everything. So I hope that you'll think seriously about that, and if there are changes that need to be made, that you'll take it seriously. All of us that will ponder the wonderful grace of God and the great blessings that we have because of it.